First Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we want to read just one verse of Scripture. And we'll read a few more verses of Scripture in this portion here. But what we're going to preach this morning, to many people, it's archaic. It's something our society does not look favorably upon. And that is the divine order of the sexes. I think we need to preach upon these things from the pulpits, because if we don't, it's going to soon be lost. And God's order is going to be done away with. In fact, in our society, it is being done away with. We've heard an awful lot about women's liberation. We find that there are a lot of people who say, well, we finally liberated the woman from the home. Finally brought her out from under subjection. Finally have elevated her to the place of being equal with the man. That she has just as much opportunity in our society as any individual has. That sounds good on the surface. But is it really what God says in His Word ought to be? Do we not find that many times when we go contrary to the Word of God, when we go contrary to the order that God has established in His creation and in society, that we do not find ourselves bringing many ills down upon us as a people? I think if you look through the history of man and you look in the history of the Word of God, you'll find that all of the ills of Israel and all of the ills of God's people and all of the ills of the nations that were in existence in the time of the writing of the Bible, that you'll find that all of them arose from their departure from that which was right. You say, what is right? Isn't it right that a woman should be elevated to the same level as a man as far as the order of things? Isn't it right that a woman should not be shackled to the home and be relieved to go out into the society and to be able to use her abilities to the best of her ability for the good of man? What's wrong with that? Well, let me read this one scripture to you and then preach upon this subject of the very divine order of sexes. Here in the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, in verse 3, it says this, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now that's God's divine order. We find the order, and the top of the order, of course, is God. You find under God, in the subordinate role, as far as the man, Christ Jesus, is Christ. And then under Christ is the man, M-A-N. Not in the generic sense, but in the sense of the male. And then under that is what? The head of every woman is the man. Now that's the divine order. And if you've got problems with what we preach this morning out of the Word of God, I'm not your problem. I'm not your problem. Your problem is between you and God. It's between you and the Lord. Because this is what God says in His Word. You say, well, we have evolved to a greater state of awareness in the day in which we live, and we don't believe in those archaic things like they used to in the Dark Ages. Well, remember this. God never changes. He never changes. What was truth yesterday and what was right yesterday is still the truth today, and it's still right today. And the judgments of God are what? Are right and true. You can't improve upon them. In fact, if you try to alter them and improve upon them in your minds or your thinking, what you do, my friend, is bring shame and distress upon your own soul. What's the cause of many of the breakups in our homes? Is it not been an acceleration of divorce since women's libs came into existence? What is the very fact that there are many homes today that do not even have a husband? Is it not because it was taught by the women's lib movement that you don't need a man? A man is not needed in the home? And so we find that there are many households today that don't even have a man in the household. And the woman has left her position as far as what God says is her position in this divine order and has done what? Has vacated her position. And we find because of that, we find that children go unsupervised. And we find a rise in what? Juvenile delinquency? Do we not find these things happening in our society?
Right.
We talk about the cleavers. I'm aging myself, I know that. Beaver Cleaver. Remember the Cleaver family? You remember Father Knows Best? You know those things that used to be on television back in the 50s and early 60s? Oh, that kind of an attitude today as far as the family is concerned is that's archaic.
Right.
Now the man is looked down upon as being what? Not the head of the house.
Right.
And we find what? We don't find that kind of a family anymore. But we ought to. Because that exemplified exactly what the Scriptures teach us concerning what a family ought to be. And the divine order of the sexes in their roles. But we've departed from it, haven't we? As our society has. And we're reaping the ills of it too. And unless a society understands and realizes that a family needs a man and a woman, and that the woman had to be in the right place and the man has to be in the right place in order to raise their children to be in the place they ought to be in. Well, let's consider this morning. As we said, this is not a popular theme. And if I preach this in another church, man, they'd stone me to death. They would. And you know it to be so. And we know also that even in Baptist churches, there are individuals that don't want to hold to this order. Because the influence of the world is so great. The conforming power of the world, the conforming pressures that are placed upon children of God in this day and age has an effect upon us. We're caught up in the women's lib movement, aren't we? But we ought not to be. For what God said in His Word is still true today. Still true today. And I would warn you, any fad or anything that is popular with the world, you better question.
Right.
You better question. Because Jesus Christ Himself said, that which is highly esteemed amongst men is an abomination to God. We're looked upon as being a very progressive nation. Yes, we are. And by that, they mean that we are progressing, we're getting better and better and better. But in reality, it's not a progression, it's a regression. It's a regression. Well, let us look into this subject this morning. The divine order of the sexes. We find that in the economy of God, we find that the man is always to be the head of the woman. Always. That's what it says in this portion of Scripture. And remember this. It's not talking primarily about a man as a husband being the head of the wife. It's talking about the woman to be headed by the man. No matter what. That's in society itself. Who is the head of the woman? The man is. And we're not just talking about husband and wife relationship. We're talking about every relationship within society of man. All right? If you look in the Old Testament, you can find that the economy of God was set up there concerning the headship of the man. When it comes to government, do we find in the governing of Israel any king that there was a woman that God had placed therein? Now, there was one woman that did rule in Judah for a period of years, Athaliah, but she was a wicked woman. She even killed all of her what? All of the heirs of the throne. And she was the mother of some of them. But we don't find that God ever anointed to be king over Israel or to be king over Judah. Did He ever anoint one woman to be that head? Now I'm going to say this, and it's not going to be popular either. When it comes to governmental rule, the man is supposed to be the head. We're going to go and elect somebody here the next couple of weeks, aren't we? And you'll see that 50% of the candidates for these offices are going to be women. Do you vote for a woman? You ought not to. I don't care if she's a Republican or a Democrat, and that's the party of your choice. Right. You ought not to. Because in the government of God, the man is supposed to be the head. Right. And that is brought before us always in the Word of God itself. We find also, do you find in any worship service or any of the service of God that's given to us in the Word of God, the tabernacle or the temple service, do you find any man or any woman that was a priest? Oh, it was the sons of Levi, wasn't it?
Right.
Not their wives. So when it comes to the religious order, who's to be the head? It's to be the man, isn't it? And when it comes to the home, we find in the Scriptures what is brought before us. It's a patriarchal society, isn't it? The man being the head. Not a matriarchal, but a patriarchal. Abraham, the Bible says, I know him, and he shall order his household after him. So we find in the very realm of God, in the Old Testament observations, we find that what? In government, in worship, and in the home, who's the head? The man. That's God's arrangement. That's what it says here in this portion of Scripture. You find even in the New Testament, we say, we're under the day of grace. We're not under the law anymore. Therefore, we have more liberty here than what we had under the law. But do you find that Jesus Christ, out of the multitude of His disciples, and I'm sure that there were women there also, do you find that He ever chose one of them to be an apostle? When it comes to the deacons within the church, you find that Jesus Christ, when the apostles there in the first church at Jerusalem, you find there that they, led by the Spirit of God, said, well, you just choose out anyone you please that's full of the Holy Spirit. No, it says, you choose seven men. Seven men. When it comes to the home, what do you find in the New Testament? Look in the book of Ephesians. I know that you have been taught this before, but we need to be reminded of it. Because we have a tendency to what? To go away from the things of God. But there in the book of Ephesians, do you not find there in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians where it says there in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord? In the home, what is the New Testament teaching? The husband is to be the head in the family. The wife is to be in subjection to her husband. He is to have the, you might say, dominating authority in the home. But that's a grave responsibility, men. Don't get to think, well, I'm boss. I can do anything I want to in the home. A lot of people say, yeah, the head of the woman is the man. This is my house. The home is my castle. I rule here. A lot of people have that attitude when they come to this doctrine, don't they? But that's not right. That's not right. Because it even says in this same portion of Scripture, it says there in verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." We have a grave responsibility as heads of our homes to do what? To be sure that we are the temporal supplier and also the spiritual supplier of all of the needs of the family. We've got a grave responsibility then. And we're to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. We are to sacrifice ourselves for their good. For their good. And be willing to give up a lot of things that we would like to have for the good of my wife and the good of my children. It's a grave responsibility that's laid upon the man too. And I dare say that because man has not taken his rightful place in the home as he ought to, that's many times the reason why the wife has to leave her position.
Right.
A lot of the fault lies with us, not with our wives. A lot of the fault lays with the men of this nation and not just with the women of this nation. We find that the Bible tells us that the woman is to be subject unto the husband in everything. In everything. And remember this, that the only exception that the Word of God tells us that a woman does not have to be in subject to her husband is when he demands something from her that is contrary to the law of God and the Word of God. But in everything else, the Bible says she's to be in subjection to that. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find definitely the divine order is to be maintained too, isn't it? Not just in the home. Remember, Sarah called Abraham Lord too, didn't he? And the Bible says the holy women of old submitted themselves unto their husbands. And so we find even in the church, as it says, look in the book of 1 Timothy. Look in the book of 1 Timothy in the second chapter of that book. Listen to what it says here concerning this in the church. And I know this is in many Baptist churches is not taught today, because we find what? Women being placed in offices of authority. Women song leaders. Women clerks. Women deacons. And even women pastors. And it says in this portion of Scripture, listen to it. Look down there in verse 10. It says, well, verse 9 of the second chapter of 1 Timothy. It says, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not in braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." In other words, they're not to make a show of themselves. But that which they're to be clothed with is the inner man, that meek and a quiet spirit, which God, in the sight of God, is of great price. And then it says, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works." It says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection." Now listen to what it said. And this isn't just the Apostle Paul. Remember, this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of people say, well, Paul was just a woman hater, therefore he put women down. No, this is by inspiration of the Spirit of God, isn't it? "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. And I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now, I don't know any plainer words can be spoken. You say, well, that's just your interpretation of it. Well, I'll give you my interpretation of it again. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. And then it says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now, I don't know any other way to interpret it. Do you? I mean, that's plain words. Plain words. Look also in the book of 1 Corinthians. Look in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And you notice there in verse 34 and 35, it says this, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church." Now that's plain too, isn't it? It just backs up what we read over there in the book of 1 Timothy, in that portion of Scripture. And so we find that whether it be in government, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church or religious services, that is the divine order that God has placed. The woman is to be in subjection to the man. The man is the head of the woman. The head of the man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. That's the order. Now let's for a moment consider this, because a lot of people say, well, you Baptists are just a bunch of women haters. No, we just love the Lord and believe what God says is the truth, and what God says is that which blesses us. That if we do what the Lord says, then the Lord will bless us in it. And that's the attitude we ought to have. But let's consider for a minute. It's not a question. This subordination of the woman to the man is not a question of personal character. I know a lot of women that have got a better character than their man has. Some of them are loving. Some of them are more concerned, more courteous. Some of them are more superior in many ways to the husband or the man. And I dare say probably some of you ladies here in this church probably have more spiritual understanding and knowledge than probably some of us men in things. So when we talk about a woman submitting herself to the man, we're not talking that the woman is inferior in her character. I thank God for every godly woman. In fact, let me put it to you this way. The woman that will submit herself to the Word of God and to submit herself unto the man is of a greater character in every way. A greater character. It is a low, self-centered character that will not submit. It's a greater character that will what? Be humble than one who will be proud and lift oneself up. Right. Let's consider this also. It's not a matter of ability. It's not a matter of ability. The argument with women's lib is this. Well, why shouldn't they do this? They've got the ability to do it. They've got more smarts than this man has, or they have the talent that is necessary in order to fulfill this position. Why not let her fulfill the position? Why hold her back? Why stunt her? Why rob society of the ability that this woman has? Well, let me say this. Is it right if I have the ability to pick pockets to steal because I've got the ability? If I can go up against somebody and just brush them and pick their pocket clean of everything that's with, and they don't know a thing about it, now that's an ability, isn't it? Do I have a right then to act upon that ability and to fulfill it? You say, no, that's not right. That isn't right. You said you shouldn't steal. Well, the law of God says what? A woman ought not to be the head over a man either, is it? Even though she's got the ability.
Right.
In many ways, you'll find women in the Bible. Many of them had many abilities, but they channeled them in the right way. They used their ability to enhance the position which God had placed them in. Yes, maybe they've got more smarts than their husband, but they can use those smarts to help their husbands conduct a family, can't they? I can't sow a lake. My wife can. She can do what? Augment that which I lack in by her abilities, can't she? It's not a matter of ability. We're not saying that the woman is inferior as far as her character is concerned or as far as her ability is concerned. We're not saying that when we say that the woman is to be in subjection to the husband or the wife to the husband and the woman to the man. We're not saying that at all. Nor are we saying that she's inferior as far as salvation is concerned. Look in the book of Galatians. Look in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And God does not look down upon her as being inferior either in salvation. In the book of Galatians, the third chapter in verse 28, it says this. In verse 26 it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now don't separate that from what we're about to read. We're talking about salvation here. We're talking about our standing with the Lord here. He says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Now who's he talking about? He's talking about all believers, isn't he? Women and men. And then in verse 28, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." And people use that portion of Scripture and say this, "This teaches us that in our relationship to God, God doesn't look upon us as male and female. Therefore, there's no difference. It doesn't matter whether a woman is a pastor or whether she's a deacon. It doesn't matter because we're, what, God removed all distinctions." That's not what the argument is here. Because if that be so, then we just read you in the book of Ephesians that which was contrary to it, didn't we? And the book of 1 Timothy. And in other places in the Scripture. God doesn't contradict Himself. So everything must be what? Interpreted in the light of other Scriptures. This cannot mean then that when you're saved by the grace of God, that God still doesn't see you as a woman and as a man, or as a child, that he has, what, done away with his divine order of sexes. It simply means this, that you as a child of God are on the same standing with God in Christ, and your standing is what? One of salvation, and God will bless you just as greatly as He'll bless a man, just as much as a Greek or a Jew. The Jews had no advantage over the Gentiles, because we're all under sin. And what it's teaching here is not the fact that when you're saved, God does away with all distinctions. And that you're all one as far as equal in abilities and privileges and everything as far as serving the Lord is concerned. All are saved and objects of the same redeeming love. All of us are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek in this. And we're all what? We're all going to receive rewards. And the man's not going to receive a greater reward than the woman. No, he's not. If a woman serves the Lord faithfully in the position which God has placed her in, many of them are going to have greater rewards than any man. And that's one thing that we ought to look at. It's not just look at the advantages we gain here. What advantages will we gain with the Lord? What privileges, what rewards will we have with the Lord? The subordination of the woman to the man is just a matter of position. The position that God has placed them in. The President of the United States has a greater position than what I have. But does that make me inferior to him? Does that make you inferior to him? We've had some presidents that, I mean, they were low. One of recent time. You know the one I'm talking about. B.C. But can you say that he was superior because of his position than any of the citizens that were under him? No. It's a matter of position. God has placed the man over the woman. It's only a what superiority of position that we're talking about in this portion of Scripture. And there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. If you look back in the book of 1 Timothy, or excuse me, in the book of 1 Timothy again, I want you to see here the reason for it. Are you a believer? Are you a person of faith? You believe that the Bible is the Word of God? You say, yes, I do. Then we find that there's a reason for the man being the head of the woman. And it's a matter of faith. A matter of faith. In this portion of Scripture, in the book of 1 Timothy, it says, after we read the Scripture where it says in verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For because God has a reason for it. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. You look back in the creation of God. Look in the sixth day when God created man. The Bible says He took of the dust of the earth and He formed man and then breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. Adam was created first, wasn't he? He said, yes, that's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. All right, where did the woman come from? Was she created right alongside of Adam when God created Adam out of the dust of the earth? Did He take another pile of dirt and form it into a body and then breathe into it the breath of life, same as He did Adam? Were they both created the same? No. There came a time when we find that the animals passed before Adam and He named every one of them, and the Bible says there was not found a fit help for Adam. A fit mate for Adam out of all of the things that God had created. So the Bible says He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And God took a rib out of the side of Adam and closed it up. And out of the rib He made a woman and brought her unto the man. And what was she made for? A help meet. A fit help for the man. Not to be his head. But to be a help for him. God created man first and then He created the woman, didn't He? For man. It wasn't the other way around. God didn't create a woman and then create the man to be the woman's help. Nor did He create them both equal. If you believe the creation then, you have to find there's the basis then for it. The first basis. I believe God. God created the man first and then He created me to be what? A help for the man. And if you go against that by saying, I'm going to be the head of the house. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the breadwinner of the house. I'm going to do what my ability dictates that I can do in this world. I'm going to make the best of my life. I don't care what the man says at all. Then, my friend, you deny the creation of God. You deny it. You don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you would submit yourself unto the man. Because that's the God place that God created you in. And for that purpose. Well, let's go on. He says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. There's a second reason. Eve was beguiled by the devil, wasn't he? By the serpent. And she took of that fruit and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. Adam was not deceived, the woman was. And what happened because of that deception and because of that sin that entered into the world? Did not God say, the man shall rule over you? Look back there. See if it isn't so. Look back in the book of Genesis again. Look there in the third chapter of that book. He says in verse 16, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sow, and thy conception in sow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. She was deceived by the wiles of Satan. And God said, because of that, first of all, you are going to have a multiplied pain in your conception. When you bring forth children, it's going to be in pain. Every time a child is born, every time you hear the cry of agony from a woman ready to deliver, you can mark it down. It's a fulfillment of this. And he says, because of it also, your husband shall have the rule over you. And that literally means dominion or reign over you. Do you believe that? Do you believe the fall? Do you believe that in the garden that Eve was deceived and she did give to her husband and he did eat? And you believe that this is exactly what God had placed upon women because of the deception? You say, I believe it. That's what the Bible... Then the Bible says the woman is to be in submission to the man because of it. And my friend, if you do not believe this account, then you do not believe in the fall. And literally, my friend, you have done what? Gone against the gospel of Christ. Because he came to redeem from the fall. You throw dispersions upon the blood of Jesus Christ. If you say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that sin entered that way. I don't believe that Eve was deceived. I don't believe that had happened. Well then, my friend, how can you truly believe savingly upon the blood of Jesus Christ? If you don't believe the fall, then how can you believe in the redemption? How can you? You see, it's a matter of faith with us that are saved by the grace of God. Do we believe in the creation as God has related it to us in His Word? Do we believe also in the fall and, of course, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, which is redeeming from that fall? Do we truly believe that? Then we are to what? Believe God's divine order. And endeavor with everything that's within us, within our government, within our homes, within our churches. To what? Have that order maintained and held to. As we've already said, there's so much in our society that is wrong. And the basis of that wrongness is the home. And what's wrong with the home is the divine order has been left. I pray that God give us that are saved by the grace of God to strive to maintain the order which God has given. Because it's for our good. It's for our good. As we've already said, whenever we depart from the order that God has laid down, we bring woes upon ourselves. Whenever we try to improve upon what God has said, which is already perfect, then all we do is bring harm upon ourselves. We bring harm upon our government. We bring harm upon our society, upon our homes. We bring harm upon the churches of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is still the final law and the final rule of God's people and God's churches. Let us endeavor to be men, to have the knowledge, the understanding, the ability to take care of our women well. But let the women also see that they keep their position, the position which God has given them. Because there's the place where God blesses. If you really have a desire that you'll be a blessing to your home, then let's take the position that God's placed us in and fulfill it by His grace to the best of our ability. If we desire the best for our nation, let's seek to put into office the best qualified men in those offices. And in our churches, let us let not down upon this doctrine. And let the women learn in silence and in subjection. And make sure, you men, that you have the spiritual answer and the guidance and wisdom to guide your family. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, it is our heart's desire that you might be saved. And I don't care if you're a woman, I don't care if you're a man, I don't care if you're a girl or a boy. God's salvation is for whosoever will. Whosoever. I don't care if you're a rich man or a poor man. I don't care whether you're a white man or a black man. I don't care whether you are an American or some heathen from South America, down in the back jungles of South America that never even saw a white man. If you will but repent of your sins, that means turn to God, believe God, and embrace Jesus Christ by faith, God will save you. And in that standing that you have with God, you are equal with a man. You have the same privileges as a man does in that salvation. But in that salvation, God still maintains His order as far as the society is concerned of men. Trust in the Lord and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He's the only Savior. Brother Frank, you come this morning and lead us in a verse or two of an invitation song. As we already said, a lot of these things which we have said this morning, we couldn't preach in other pulpits. No. Churches that have this notation upon their invitation, we're an innovative church. You can mark it down. Innovation, my friend, is not advancement. Innovation with the Word of God and the traditions that are held because of what the Word of God says are falling away from the Lord. It's not in getting better. Innovation man likes. New things man likes. But God says, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old ways. For therein is peace. And the old ways have never changed. They're still the same.